Whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. We have never done one.
Mm-hmm. Ready?
Yep.
Call the House Finance Committee meeting to order. We do have a quorum today with Representative Coring, Parnell, Martin, myself, Hanley, Co-Chair Foster, and Terrio. Just for everybody's information, if anyone's here on bills, we are not, we're doing, the, Richard Foster is going to be doing the capital budget this morning, and I want to make sure that people didn't get confused. Bills will start this afternoon, so if anyone's here for bills. Nope. Good. Everybody knows we're here for the capital budget.
Okay. I know where the money is.
Representative Foster?
We're about 10% done here so far, so. Nancy, if you can come on up here. We're going to start with, I guess, education. Is that the plan, Nancy?
One project in
okay, that's fine, that's fine. And we're going to get as far as we can. I had hoped to finish up by 10 this morning, say 10 to 10, but I don't know that we will. And if we don't, we'll have to work with Michelle here and set up another time, I guess. So
we'll try and move as quickly as we can through this. All right. One of the projects that we didn't discuss in the Department of Revenue is the Permanent Fund Corporation on page 8 of the bill, line 20 and 21. And basically, that is for software, hardware, programming needs of the for personal computers currently used by the Permanent Fund Corporation investment staff. And basically, this is needed for their highly complex bond analytics computation. And they believe that this project will be able to be, the cost of it will be recovered within a year's time, actually by the increased investment earnings that can be generated from it. And Peter Bushry is here from the Permanent Fund Corporation, and if you have any specific questions on that project.
Okay.
Okay, and I believe that he stated that yesterday the board had unanimously endorsed this project a second time, supporting its need for the corporation.
No problem.
Okay. Then I'd like to move on to Department of Education, beginning with the Mount Edgecombe Boarding School renovation. This is $214,900. This funding will address the critical health and safety concerns of the Mount Edgecombe School. It's going to also take care of bath and shower facilities and replacement of single-pane windows in the dormitory facilities that are well over 40 years of age. And we have representatives from the department if you have any questions on that particular project or any of these on education. Let's see, the second project is the Statewide Library Electronic Doorway Access. This is SLED. It's a $383,000 project. The funding will provide public access to information and government. It's a statewide network that connects libraries and individuals to libraries, government, local communities, and the internet information resources. SLED is currently available in more than 40 cities or communities in Alaska, and this request will support the telecommunications cost, hardware and software upgrades, and the internet charges.
Representative Brown.
How much of that is for the hardware and software upgrade versus the telecommunications cost?
Karen Crane is here from the division, and I think she can talk.
Representative Brown, through the chair, approximately $40,000 is for hardware and software. We have $140,000
to
$150,000 in budget, which is the telecommunications.
And what's the balance?
There is money in there for statewide licenses, so that we can purchase a license to some databases so that libraries all over the state, for instance, we buy access to WLN one time rather than every library in the state paying for access to WLN. That's for a statewide license. We have a statewide license to a periodical subscription service that indexes 1,600 periodicals. that will be available on SLED. It indexes them and it abstracts articles from about 1,400 journals. We've negotiated a statewide license for that product, which means that individuals at home or libraries all over the state would be able to connect in and get that information through one subscription. So there's additional expense in there for that type.
Thank you.
The next project is $140,000 of public library construction grants. These are federal funds. The annual grants are made available to the state to disperse to libraries. Local libraries must match this at a 45% federal, 55% local match. There are no state match dollars involved in this project. Okay. Then we have the Post-Secondary Education Commission Loan Servicing System Enhancements, $1.4 million from corporate receipts. This is in addition to a $250,000 project that was approved by LBNA, I believe the beginning of December. This will be about the operational savings and increased productivity of the corporation and ensures that proper servicing is accomplished on student loans and bring it in compliance with requirements of the bonds that are being issued and assure that the insurance coverage is provided.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, the members of the LBNA were not against this appropriation. We just felt that we would give them $200,000 because we believe it is necessary. It would allow them to immediately begin doing the programming, doing the basic works, and then let the full committee, the full legislature. So we're going to try that more and more with the LBNA, that we do not circumvent the powers of the legislature, and especially when we're in session, to bring these things up.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative K. Ryan.
Thank you. Not too many years ago, is not this a replacement system for a system, another multi-million dollar expenditure we made several years ago that failed? And what assurance do we have that this one will work better than the last one that we undertook?
It's my understanding that this does replace the system that was implemented, I believe, 3 years ago. And I believe Joe is here that he can speak to how this is going to be an improvement over the existing system.
Chairman Hanley, Representative Brown, that's a very valid concern, a very good question. What assurance do you have that this will work when the prior system did not work? I think it is just fair to say to all concerned that series of poor judgments were made, culminating in a conversion from a very old system that was handmade, so to speak, to what they thought would be a new system that would work far much better. Unfortunately, the results did not pan out, and it did not work better. And as you all recall, from about 1991 through most of 1993, your telephones rang a lot. You got a lot of correspondence from students complaining about, quote, this new system. The bottom line is we have done the appropriate analysis as directed by this legislature last year. We contracted with a nationally known firm with student loan servicing expertise to do that analysis. We made copies of the analysis available to all members of the committee. We have hired and employed on staff people with expertise in student loan servicing. And I think that's the major difference, Representative Brown, is that in the other experience 3 to 4 years ago, that was not the case in the commission staff. We do have a director of data processing, and we have 4 programmer analysts who are experts in the student loan field. We have a much higher level of confidence in our ability to put a good system in place of the current system you have. In all honesty, I cannot give you an absolute assurance that where they failed in the past, we will in fact succeed. I can only say to you in all honesty that the level of confidence that we'll succeed is extremely high. and we feel very confident with this additional funding, we can go forward and give the student loan program the kind of loan servicing system it needs.
Representative Brown.
Is this system on the mainframe?
This would be on the Department of Administration's mainframe here in Juneau.
What are we actually getting for the $1.6
million? We estimate that approximately $650,000 would be spent on the software itself. Modifications to the software to accommodate both our requirements for the Alaska Student Loan Program and the state's AMDAL mainframe computer, about $300,000. Installation fees and personnel services related to that, approximately $472,000. Additional fees to a firm in the student loan industry to assist in the selection and installation of the software, $250,000. And that's the portion that Representative Martin said that the LB&A committee went ahead and funded in December. We estimate that if we are funded on the schedule that we're on right now, that we can acquire the software, make the modifications, and have the new system in place by December 1996. It'll take about a year from July 1, a year and a half. Take about 12 to 18 months to go through the full life cycle of the project.
Did you investigate alternatives other than building the system on the mainframe?
Representative Brown, we charged the firm last year that did the investigation to explore four major options. One option would be to hire contractors and try to come to Juneau and just fix the system that we have. That was one option we looked at. We looked at a time-sharing option where we actually utilize someone else's loan servicing system in another city, and we shared their time. We looked at the out-servicing of this, or outsourcing as it's called, in which we would actually contract with a student loan servicing entity in the lower 48 to service Alaska student loans. And then the fourth option we looked at was simply to scrap the system we have and redesign a piece of software to install in the computer. So we looked at four options. Two of the options were simply unacceptable and not practical at all, one being trying to fix the old system. It simply cannot be fixed.
It doesn't sound like you looked at any options for getting off the mainframe.
The state's mainframe computer is the largest, most powerful machine that AMDAL makes. And the thing that you look for on a piece of hardware is how much utilization you have on that machine in relation to others. And are you competing for CPU time? And we are not competing with other departments of the state for time, and it would be far more cost-effective to make the best use of the machine we're on, in the opinion of the consultants, than to go out and try to deal with a new piece of hardware that we would operate or time-sharing with a piece of hardware from another firm. The most cost-effective solution in the hardware category is to use the hardware that we already have access to.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm opposed generally to new developments on the mainframe, and it's hard to see how it's cost effective when the software is $650,000, but I'll talk to you more about it. I won't hold up the committee at this time.
Okay. Thank you. The next six projects, the Gullivan High School, White Mountain High School, Elam High School, North Slope Borough District-wide, Teller High School, and Kluwak Elementary, Middle, and High School, are those taken off of the Department of Education's major maintenance priority listing. I believe we submitted an amendment request to you yesterday, which basically asks that these be pulled off of the back section, put into the front section of the bill, so that the funding of these is specifically from the major maintenance grant fund under the appropriate statutes. That would this was an error having it in the back that way, that it's identified specifically for required match from the school districts for those projects. I can go through and discuss each of those projects briefly, if you like.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, I just have kind of a philosophical concern to bring forth to the whole committee, because I was wondering, you know, where we're going is more and more cries for regional high schools, and I know I'm in your area, so I dare step on your toes. Gullivan has 45 students for $1.8 million. White Mountain has 57 students. Elam has 94 students. Teller, I didn't realize the place was that big, 84 students. But you see, the large amount of money is for a rather small group of children. And the main thing is, they don't get enough teachers. The most important thing is not the buildings, it's the teachers. We can get to them. And I think now's the time to reconsider the Molly Hushack and to see if it may not be worthwhile. Up in Nome there, they got a couple areas, and Kotzebue too, where you can put a wonderful regional high school and give those children a lot more with more teachers who specialize, instead of building six more high schools for a rather small group of children. And this is what we're getting to. How much money you want to spend on one or two or five children? When you have a building here in White Mountain, 57 children, and it's $2.7 million. I'm trying like mad to get $400,000 for a Royal School, which after 30 years, electrical work has never been redone in that school. And yet we can't get the Department of Education or even Anchorage to say it's a priority because it's on a military base. Well, if we close it down, maybe we'll send them to Nome. They have that option. But it's a philosophical thing. If we keep on rubber stamping these things, and then you wonder why your school budget is so high per school district. And these schools are going to need maintenance, whether it's an Anchorage-sized building or if it's in Teller or Elam, they need maintenance, and that costs money too. So I guess it's also on the chairman's shoulder. You know, is now the time to really think of another regional high school like Mount Edgecombe? I think in your area, so you've got some good places up there, good buildings that could be used. That technical school should be spread out to a high school concept for a regional high school.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to clarify that these are not new schools. These are maintenance
upgrading,
to existing facilities, of deteriorating buildings and health, life, safety issues that need to be taken care of, the highest priorities in the state.
I just want to remind Representative Martin, when we started, he said he had three questions, and that's all this morning, so he's got one left.
Well, can we skip that other?
Okay, do we want to go ahead and go to, we've already covered health and social services. We can then jump to commerce and economic development, which begins on page 11 of the bill. Beginning the economic development matching grants programs, $400,000 of basically match funds. This is basically an annual request of the department, and it provides state funds to nonprofit corporations, cities, boroughs, and other eligible applicants to assist in matching economic development project grants from federal and other non-state agencies or private sector funds. The primary purpose of the project must be either for the construction of an economic development facility or technical assistance or direct support of an economic development activity. Okay. The second one is the Alaska Small Business Assistance and Development Program. This $436,000, again, this is an annual request. This is actually two projects. Part of it, $253,000 of it, is for the University of Alaska Small Business Development Center. This is a cooperative effort between the U.S. Small Business Administration, the University of Alaska, and the Division of Economic Development. And its primary emphasis is on a broad range of in-depth, quality small business counseling. The other portion of this request is $183,000 for the Procurement and Technical Assistance Center, which is also administered by the University of Alaska in Anchorage. The purpose of this program is to stimulate competition for the Department of Defense and other federal contracts by assisting businesses in entering the contracting or the government contracting market, and to stimulate the economy by helping existing businesses to expand their market base. Okay. The last project in Department of Commerce is the Data Processing System Enhancement Phase 2. This is $350,000 of program receipts. This is the second and final phase of a multi-year project. It's basically to convert their Wang minicomputer system. The project is basically to acquire a new database hardware and software system to begin this to implement this conversion for the department's regulatory agencies, including banking, securities, corporations, insurance, and occupational licensing. And this will be funded through program receipts, as I said. Okay, then we move on to Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. The first project is the deferred maintenance statewide, $500,000, a general fund. This is a small portion of the deferred maintenance needs of the department. This will basically fund projects such as roof repairs in Anchorage, Juneau, Wasilla, or Kenai Armory, and replaces 35-year-old floorings in the Nome Armory, among other things. Their original request to us was $5.3 million, so you can see this is just a small portion of what they've identified. Okay, next one is the Bethel Army Aviation Operating Facility. It's a $6,880,000 project, $500,000 of general fund dollars, $6,380,000 of federal funds. This is for the design and construction of a new hangar in Bethel to accommodate a different size of aircraft, which is going to be assigned to the Bethel area. The existing hangar does not have the adequate spacing for this new aircraft, and that old facility will be surplused. Okay.
Sure. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kelly.
Are you familiar with that?
Pardon?
Are you familiar with that project?
Not a whole lot, but if you have specific questions, I think we have.
It's really just out of curiosity. Bethel Army Aviation Operating Facility. What the Army is there?
Or National Guard.
It's National Guard. Yeah. Okay. Then we go on to Department of Natural Resources, and The first project you'll see there is a Child's Pad Contaminated Site Assessment and Remediation. This is $300,000 from the Oil Hazardous Response Fund. This is to provide funds for the continuing cleanup of the site in the Prudhoe Bay Oil Field Complex on Dead Horse Lease Track number 54. The site was abandoned by the former lessee with structures and debris left on the site. The legal proceedings to recover the cost of cleaning the site have not been possible because of the bankruptcy of the lessee.
Who was the lessee?
Who was the lessee? I don't have that. Nico?
Child.
That's what I call Child's Pad. Right. Okay. All right. And Forward Alaska Pad Contaminated Site Assessment Remediation is basically the same type of project. This too is from the Oil and Hazardous Response Fund, and for cleanup of a site within the Prudhoe Bay oil field, Dead Horse Lease Track 75 and 76. And it's basically the same type of thing, only we are continuing to pursue legal action against the lessee on the cleanup costs of this particular site. And the lessee on this was, you told me, and I forgot. Right. Okay. The next is the Mental Health Trust Lands Reconstitution Implementation Project. This is $538,000 of general fund. This funding is the first of two final steps for the implementation of the Lands Trust Reconstitution. There are approximately 4,700 parcels of land that were identified on April 28, 1994 on the lands list. This is going to continue the title research to establish the conveyability of the parcels and write the legal descriptions, issue the recordable quit claim deeds, and it will also provide some assistance in revising the databases and complete the reconveyance from municipalities, et cetera, and that whole issue in transferring those parcels to the trust. Okay. The next project is $100,000 from the reforestation site preparation and replanting. I believe we discussed this briefly when we talked about the front section of this bill, the $100,000 that goes from the general fund to the reforestation fund, and then here it's appropriated from the reforestation fund to the department to provide that activity. Okay. Let's see. Land status geographic information system project phase 5, $300,000. This request continues funding the project to automate the state's graphic land record, the status plat. The state currently maintains over 16,000 maps in manual and automated formats. This project completes the conversion of those manual maps, thus reducing the need to maintain the two systems. Okay. Real estate recording, preservation, and replacement, $125,000. This is program receipt funds related to the recorder's office. This is converting the records from the land transfers records or anything, any of the old documentation, real estate documentation that's in fragile condition and deteriorating, and basically I believe this actually makes a photocopy of the documents so that we have a complete record of them and can have them in a access by the different recorder's offices. The next project is oil and gas basin analysis and assessment program. This is a $100,000 project. We'll provide continuing funds for basis analysis reports on, great, Minchamina, and I'm not going to go through all of those areas, that apparently this project will include, conduct a focused study on the reservoir interval of the Sunfish oil discovery in order to better understand its regional significance using new and not previously published data. And if you think the department could probably respond to questions on this more than I could.
Yeah, I was looking at the backup on these oil and gas projects, and in the summary under this basin analysis, it looks like that there's the description has just gotten confused, but it's talking about implementing the terms of recently negotiated settlement agreements. And then there's another one that affects royalty accounting, but I'm just having trouble sorting that out. And there's also a oil and gas best interest finding. But is there, you know what I'm speaking about, Nico?
Yeah.
Do you want an explanation as to the difference of between those?
Is the write-up correct under the oil and gas analysis and assessment program? Because it doesn't seem like what you said and what the backup looks like has anything to do with the North Slope settlement agreements.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Nico Buss. Representative Brown, you're correct. The summary that was provided last week was an error for basin analysis. It got mixed with the royalty accounting write-up.
The Those description, bullets go under the royalty accounting? Thank you.
The description that Nancy just gave is correct, and I'll make a copy available to each one of you.
Thank you.
Okay. The next project is the Forest Health Initiative, $325,900. $225,900 is federal funds, $100,000 is general fund. This is a two-year program to survey spruce bark beetle infested areas. The survey will provide information that will enable us to do timber salvage and develop site-specific prescriptions, which are fundamental to required forest land use plans and timber sales contracts.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Terry Mike.
I was wondering, how many more years are we going to keep studying this? I remember years ago I used to be on the health board kind about disease and beetle infestation, and we're still studying, and millions and billions of board feet are being lost because we're still studying. Is there a chance that someday we might conclude a study and say we should do this? Or there's just so much money. You realize that over the years.
Rudy J. Representative Martin, you're correct. This would be for a specific area. The studies previously done were in the Kenai Peninsula, and this is for the Tanana Valley and the Kuskokwim Valley. And if you have more specific questions...
Well, we've had the Kuskokwim study before. I can show you that when Mr. The guy's not here now. His wife died. But he did that one, I'd say, at least 8 years ago. Kuskokwim, showing the billions of board feet. We've done the Tanana one before.
Mr. Bhutan is here, the director of forestry, to answer that specific question, but I think this is more geared to doing the timber salvage and actually doing something about it. So.
Representative Perio.
Is $100,000 general fund a required match?
In order to get to 225, that's the minimum. That's correct. So.
And just to help answer part of Representative Martin's question, we finally did pass legislation allowing for the salvaged timber sales, so maybe we're going to see some cutting.
Maybe.
Okay. The Forest Inventory and Mapping Project, this is $100,000. This will fund phase three of the Tanana Valley Forest Inventory by ground-level sampling of targeted 115 plots. This will be used in conjunction with the aerial mapping information to develop data that will support sustained yield management and update accounting of forest resources on state lands. Okay. Stream gauging network collection of stream flow data. This is a $300,000 project, $150,000 from general fund and $150,000 from federal receipts. And this is a... This will allow the first of a six-year project to go forward in which stream gauges will be placed in high-priority locations without the around the state. And this would provide data which is necessary for a number of design criteria for roads, highways, bridges, culverts, dams, hydropower projects, mining projects, other aspects of economic projects throughout the state.
Representative Terrio.
Does that require general fund match?
We could match the, this $150,000 with $150,000 federal. It's not required. We can match it. So basically, if the state chooses to do this on their own, they can do it, and we can match the federal funds. But I'm not sure if there would be more money, like if you would fund $200,000, if you can get a 50-for-50. On this particular proposal, there is. Oh.
Yeah, I wrecked a plane once at your Crater Creek stream gauge location. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
It was one of your crews.
But he's okay now, really.
Next one is the National Historic Preservation Fund. This is $640,000 of federal dollars for a division of parks. The federal monies will be administered by the State Historic Preservation Program to it's a 60-40 match with state, local government, and qualifying private organizations. These funds are for historic preservation, planning, and surveying of archaeological sites and maintenance of historic sites.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. And where are the state dollars that match this 640 in federal?
Through the chair, Representative Brown, they're in the operating budget.
Thank you.
Okay. Land and Water Conservation Fund, this is $500,000 of federal funds. These are as an allocation of grants which provide assistance on a 50-50 matching basis to state and local communities for planning, acquisition, development of outdoor recreational facilities.
It's only federal money. I mean, they got plenty of it.
Okay, the next project is oil and gas royalty accounting software mainframe interface. It's $150,000. Connection to the state mainframe needs to be completed for exchange of information between the DNR land administration system, DNR revenue and billing system, and the oil and gas royalty accounting system. And this will, the project will basically assist in more efficient collection and auditing of oil and gas royalties. Then we go to the geophysical, geological mineral inventory, $100,000. This is the fifth year of an eight-year project to identify and delineate mineral zones on Alaska state lands that have major economic value. In FY96, ground truth geologic mapping will be completed for 626 square miles in the Fairbanks Mining District. Oil and gas lease sales best interest findings, $100,000. This funding will allow the division to contract for private consultants to write major portions of the required best interest finding of areas subject to exploration licensing far from the known areas of oil and gas reserves.
Mr.
Representative K. Brown.
I guess it gives me a little bit of pause to know or learn that the department's plan is to have private consultants writing the required best interest findings. Is that a new practice?
Through the chair, Representative Brown, we would manage this and we just consult certain parts of the best interest findings. So we would clearly be in the driver's seat on it, but we would contract out for some of these because our operating budget is so minimal right now that we would contract for some of these areas in order to get the best interest finding ready.
Because it seems, Mr. Chairman, to me that it's hard for a private party to really adopt the perspective of, I don't know, I suppose there are pieces of it that could be contracted out, but was this cut out of the budget or why is not, I presume this follows from the law that we passed last year going to the large block leasing and the exploration licensing, and I thought at that time we were going to add the money to the budget to enable the division to do this function.
At the time, no fiscal notice passed in this year, but this proposal was done before the current legislative proposal on the oil and gas budget. But at the time, the thinking was that if we want to do these things and get exploration licensing and incentives going, that we needed some extra help in doing these best interest findings. And so that's where the capital project was started. So.
Representative Terrio.
Well, Nico, why didn't, I'm just looking at the CIP reports or receipts in oil and gas and it doesn't show up there?
Because these are private contractors, and so in the operating budget, you would just see only our staff that is working on it, so you will not see that in the operating budget.
Well, there is a small amount of CIP receipts here.
And those were for student interns for basin analysis.
Come out of this?
No.
Not out of this project.
That was the basin analysis project.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Martin.
On the same point that Mr. Terrio brought up, I know in my department when they have contracts like this, so we put it in the contractual section of the operating budget. Why shouldn't it, rather than capital, why shouldn't it be put in the contractual section? That's what it's there for.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Martin, the philosophy there is that this is a one-time project through contractors rather than ongoing maintenance contractual services. So from that point of view, it would be a capital initiative rather than operating. It's not an ongoing contractual services requirement.
No, a lot of in operation, there's a number of departments that are going to have